Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sports with you. The BMW of Des Moines guest list shapes up like this. We will do a lot of draft recapping here this morning. But to begin with, we'll start with Scott Dockerman. He covers the Hawkeyes and the Big Ten and does some NFL draft for The Athletic, and he'll join us at 11:30 this morning. I wrote a good piece in The Athletic this morning looking at the drafted Hawkeyes from this past weekend, and then looking ahead to the potential roster of Hawks that will hear their name called in the 2025 draft that takes place in Green Bay at Lambeau Field. So Scott Dockerman first, then Nick Athan on the Chiefs. Our number two, Dane Mazzutani on the Minnesota Vikings as well as the Minnesota Timberwolves. Dave Sinicott on the Packers. He hosts a show on Saturday morning with Trent Tucker, former NBAer. And we'll talk some T-Wolves with him as well, I'm assuming, because that's one of the stories over the weekend as the Timberwolves sweep the Suns and march on to a... It certainly looks as though a date with the Denver Nuggets. And then Alec Bussey on Iowa State. We will talk Cyclones with Mr. Bussey coming up here at 12:30. Trent's Plays of the Day. Circus Sports sponsor those before we get out of here at 1 o'clock. So busy guest list here today. The draft is in the rearview mirror. I watched a ton of it. I enjoy it. I enjoy the coverage of it. And good to see you. How are you?
Doing well. Good. Great weekend. We had a memorial for my dad back home. Got to go to
a lot of people.
Yes. Yep. A lot of people I haven't seen in decades.
Sure.
Family was all there. That was great. It was just a weekend for closure, a weekend to get everybody together. Just had a great time.
And you were there the whole weekend?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, okay. So we went up Friday and got up there, got things set up. So the little town I grew up by Osage, and people know I'm from Osage. Well, I'm actually from New Haven, town of 40 people.
That's all the
growing up there was a hardware store.
Yeah.
Church. Uh-huh. My dad and grandpa's business, the trucking business, and two bars. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Irish Catholic families, a lot that's of up awesome. There. And that's the little town
so
that I grew
up. So what's left
in.
Now?
The trucking business has evolved. There's still something there.
The hardware store's gone.
Yeah, that's now a community center for the Mennonites that live up in that area.
Okay.
The church is still there.
So the bars are still there. The bars are gone if the Mennonites have moved in.
Well, the bar is now another community center that we were able to do a happy hour at, which was incredible. My parents owned it for a number of years. My dad ran it for a long time. My great aunt and uncle had it when I was a little kid. Watch the 86 Rose Bowl there, the 85 season, the Bears Super Bowl in that place. The pool table is still there.
No kidding. Same one?
Yes. I remember the renovation that my dad was doing when he took over, and still to this day, and that was in the late 80s, this green tile that they had on the floor that was there when my great aunt Coke and her husband John ran the bar. It was still in good shape, so kept it there. Still that green tile's there.
Wow.
Flood of memories.
I bet.
But yeah, to be in the bar that I grew up in, yeah. And it was really good.
Literally,
yes.
Grew up in.
So many people from that little town, my dad's friends that were coming that I hadn't seen since I was a little kid.
That's awesome.
It was a really good time, and having the days up there, showing my kids then, mm-hmm. This is where I grew up. What did you do? Played the creek, played the river.
Yeah.
There wasn't a whole lot.
Things that we don't want you to do.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, the things that you're not allowed to do, that's what we did
do
for
fun.
Do
as I say, not as I do.
Absolutely. But great time.
I did.
Really enjoyed it. Yeah. And seeing the church that I had my first communion.
Wow.
You know, all those different things. A lot of memories, a great weekend. And thanks to everybody that was able to make it from back home. You know, a lot of people up there still listen to our program.
Oh, that's good.
And listen to my Hawkeye podcast. So it was fun to connect with them and just so many great memories. So I was happy that we were able to do that for my dad. Mm-hmm. He retired out in Oklahoma years ago, and New Haven was still a special place for him. So
40 people.
Yeah.
Jeez. So how many homes?
Oh, probably 15, something like that, town, you know, houses throughout the town.
And two bars.
Two bars. Two bars.
Priorities.
Oh, what is kind of like to drink? Well.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, a lot of.
Yeah. Honestly, that's for sure.
That's right.
Well, what was your weather like for you on Friday night?
Friday was not like it was here. It wasn't good by any means, but yeah, seeing what everybody was going through.
I feel awful for the folks over in Lincoln and Omaha and that part of the Midwest. Boy, oh, boy. And
Minburn.
Some of the yes, the whole town.
Yes.
Just wiped out. And some of the footage from I-80, which I guess would be, because Lincoln's on the left of I-80, so it's south of I-80. So, I mean, they're huge.
Yes.
Monsters.
And I'm not a weather guy, but those kind of things, they're so impactful and just so scary. And it's the neck turning, right? You see an accident, that's the same thing with those tornadoes. As devastating as they are, they're incredibly interesting to also see, and the storm chasers and everything else. A lot of that throughout the weekend. And, you know, we heard from people down here. We had some friends that were at Jordan Creek Mall and had to all be pushed in.
Because there was, I saw a report that one was headed in that direction. Yeah. That was Friday night.
So they went down like that alleyway where like the bathrooms are. They try to pack as many people.
Is that where they put the people?
Yeah. And one of my friend's sons didn't handle all those people around very well. And you can imagine that's going to be a scary, scary situation.
Yeah, no, hats off to the weather people and the television stations, and I'm guessing 1040 News Radio 1040 WHO did their best to keep everybody up to speed. It was what was going on, but frightening weekend for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Glad that obviously that it didn't hit, for the most part anyways, us here, but certainly a lot of people impacted in central Iowa and over to our friends to the west in the state of Nebraska. And then it hit Oklahoma on Saturday.
Right, yes.
Oh, my gosh. The Midwest in the spring, right? Let's get into the world of sports. It was an eventful weekend watching the draft unfold, where some of the guys were going to land. The Torrey Taylor, I mean, up to me. It's just perfect that he's a Bear, right? I didn't know this. His girlfriend is from Chicago, apparently.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he made a big deal about that. Uh-huh. And a lot of folks that... you know, a lot of jokes on the Hawkeyes offense over the weekend, and they weren't unfair or uncalled for. But it's such a great weekend, and these guys are so well prepared. I watched very little NFL Network. I was all over ESPN. I'm such a Lewis Riddick guy.
That's your guy?
That's my guy.
It was weird not seeing McShay.
McShay and Chris Mortensen.
Well, Mortensen for obvious reasons. And McShay still works for ESPN.
It's his contract.
Yes, coming to an end.
Right.
So he's been on a lot with Ryan Russillo on his podcast at Ryan Russillo.
Another ex-ESPNer. Yes.
And he does a podcast for The Ringer, works with Bill Simmons a lot, does their NBA stuff, and then has his own. And he's had McShay on a ton, and he's talked about it, just how odd it is. You know, you're still under contract. He can't do everything he wants to when he breaks away. But not
being there. It's a non-compete.
Yes, not being there and not being a part of the coverage and... a guy like that.
I just thought he was the heir apparent. I really did.
He was going to take over for Kuiper. So
this Matt Miller guy that's really, his career has taken off.
Yeah.
I remember Matt Miller. Peralt found him when I worked with Peralt in like 2009. We thought it was kind of cute, Matt Miller, you know. And he was a guy, I don't know where he lives now, but he lived in the state of Kansas or Missouri. And he was just a guy in his basement.
Yeah. NFL draft scout, right?
An NFL draft scout, exactly.
That was like his Twitter handle.
That was his Twitter handle. Yeah. And he did it, I think, as a hobby and knocked on the right door at the right time. Man. And boom, look at him now.
Isn't it wild how
it
some
really
of those
is.
Things, and some of the people that you and I both have had on in the past in different iterations of shows and like what they've turned into, what they morphed into. And that's another one that he's excellent. Mm-hmm. He does a great job.
Yeah.
He knows it. He understands it. And then you go from just doing it as a hobby. Start making some calls.
To making a living doing
start
it.
Start making a connection. Yeah. I know a GM. Well, first probably, I know a scout. And then you get step up and all of a sudden that scout, he's in the number two chair. Now he's a GM. And, and those connections start to build. And somebody like a Matt Miller and what they've turned into. I haven't seen a ton outside of kind of a final recap of everything because of that. But I'll be honest, the Bears part of it, it's going to be cool seeing Torrey Taylor punt for the Bears.
Sure.
But just because of their limited draft capital, wasn't enamored with it. It was...
the fact that they took him where they did?
Right.
Because, they weren't getting out of there without him, Trent.
Yeah.
They wanted Torrey Taylor, and they were going to get him even though...
if they would have had 8 picks, okay.
Sure, and you used the 6th or the 5th or something, but...
when you only got 4?
Yeah.
okay.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with you. But by all accounts, the Bears got better. I think the Packers had a great draft. Of the local teams, I think the obviously J.J. McCarthy, it's how the Vikings did is going to be predicated on his success. They made a couple of other good picks, and away we go. But it's always a crapshoot, and it's I get such a kick out of it, the instant reaction. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're a fan of your team, you click on it because you want to see what other people are thinking.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm as guilty as the next person, but, you know, as I saw repeatedly throughout the weekend, some guys just thought, well, the Chiefs made a terrible pick. This quarterback from Texas Tech is never going to pan out. Never going to pan out.
Hand raised.
What a waste of what a waste of a pick.
66-10. I mean, it was the most simple point, but it was the easiest.
Right?
Certainly where we are.
Yep.
How can you take a quarterback that lost to Iowa State 66-10?
Uh-huh.
How are you going to take that guy? He's going to be your franchise quarterback. Yeah, he's the best quarterback
maybe in the world.
And,
maybe we'll go down as the best you've ever seen.
Yeah.
Swing and a miss on that one, but it's over. And the way we go, the next thing that the NFL will take over the media narrative is what, a week from second Thursday in May? Is that when it is?
Is that what they?
I think it is, and that's when the schedule comes out. And look, everybody knows who's your squad's going to play.
Right.
You just don't know where they're going to play them at, but they'll take over and they will build it up. Mm-hmm. A couple of things will trickle out the day before, and everybody that does sports talk throughout the country will go bananas because it's King football.
And
after
you'll be W&L in it.
Yes.
Like, though you said, but the way that it does actually play out does matter. Oh, that's going to be a tough stretch there.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter.
Back to back to back.
You don't know who's injured. You know who's going to be there.
Sure.
But we're going to do it. We're going to break it down and we're going to overwhelm. Because that's what we do.
And bye week is way too early. Uh-huh. This is a horrible spot for the bye.
Right.
Oh, man. Oh, man. All the talking points, you can just recycle them seemingly on a yearly basis. And for the record, I will be happy to do so.
Yes.
the day after the draft is released. So I know that you were watching the NBA last night because I saw your tweet about...
So Finch goes down. Am I crazy here?
To think that he should have stayed on... I mean, I guess I don't know. I've never had a torn ACL or a patella tendon. He was clearly in pain.
He was, but he didn't have to play.
You know, just sit.
And it was a 6-point game. If it was 15, okay.
Mm-hmm.
It struck me as incredibly odd. And I really wasn't trying, it wasn't like clickbait. It wasn't, because I said right in the tweet, like, I'm not trying to be callous here. It just struck me as odd.
Yeah.
Because I've seen so many players and I've seen so many ACL tears, even in person. And yeah, it's painful. But how many times we see the person even be able to limp off their own power? Everybody doesn't cry. It's not, I've never had an injury like that.
Right.
I say it's not that painful.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's painful, but I don't know. It just struck me as weird. And then they had to wheel him up. And the way that the locker room must be, he had to go behind the bench. And there's like three rows of seats. And that's where the tunnel is, which... I've never seen an arena like that. Have you, a basketball arena?
No, but I guess they saw an opportunity to cram more fans in some of the prime seats, and they get a big dollar for those, and they're going to put as many rows as they can at the inconvenience of the squads.
You take away the big tunnel that you normally have in a corner.
Mm-hmm.
No, let's put more fans there.
Yeah.
And then we're going to make this little alleyway that you make your way back. But you got to whip around three rows of people and then get back. It was just, there's so many weirdness last night. It just felt like I was drunk. Had a few drinks over the weekend. Maybe that's what still was lingered a little bit.
Doesn't make you a bad person in my book, my friend.
It felt so weird watching them. Like, well, where's he going? Just sit on the bench. Put your knee out. Get some ice out of you. Hey, they found a way.
Uh-huh.
And this Timberwolves team.
But now they get the Nuggets.
And it's the big boss.
Mm-hmm.
They played well against them. I know they got swept, but they were in every single one of those games throughout the course of this season.
Yep.
Some great games.
And they played some of those games, I'm assuming, without Kat.
And Ant?
He's a different...
He's going to
be the face of the league.
Yes.
I really believe this. Or one of.
He's going to be starting with LeBron in the Olympics. He's your starting two guard.
Has to be.
Devin Booker?
No.
It's
Ant.
After the game, I don't know if you saw the little clip of him.
No, I did not see the end of the game.
There's a little clip afterwards in the post game, like they're up on the dais, and it's him and Kat, and he had a couple of swears in there, but he basically said, Kat, if you don't foul, look how good we are. I tell him before every game, don't foul, but he was exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
You can see every single time he does an interview, he does it right. He calls out his teammates. He brings them up. He is so enjoyable, so fun.
And he loves Minneapolis.
And the nation, they're starting to understand. They're starting to understand, not just him as the incredible talent, the dunk. Oh,
I mean, the one with 2 minutes and 12 seconds.
Get me off my couch for that one.
Oh, how about the defense that they played in advance of that? Again, I'm watching the game this morning because I hit record, went to bed at the end of the third quarter. But that might have been the game right there, right? The defensive, to get the turnover, come down and open it up to what, six at that point or four? 115, 111, I think?
Yeah,
regardless.
Yeah. That was the deep three, right?
Yeah. Yes. Huge.
28-footer, just boom.
Oh,
when he's
God.
Hitting that, it's over.
It is.
Because
it is.
We know what he is when he gets downhill. Mm-hmm. He is the complete pack, and he's 22.
And he's 22.
He's 22 years
and
old.
And he was the de facto number one pick
because
it's an awful draft.
There's nobody to take. I guess you take this guy.
Right.
Of all the years for the Timberwolves to get the number one pick.
How many times did I hear that?
This crappy draft. Of course, this is the Timberwolves. Yep. It's a Minnesota sports team. They finally get a number one pick, and it's this year.
Well, it worked out.
It worked out.
In a big, big way.
And speaking of egg on the face, we're talking about some of the guys in the NFL draft we missed. You and I came in after the Rudy Gobert trade.
Mm-hmm.
New GM comes in.
Yeah.
We
are not alone, though.
No.
Right.
But it felt like this could be one of the worst trades.
In the history of sports.
You already have a center. You bring in a limited defense-only kind of guy.
Yep.
What are you doing? How are you building this team?
You're right.
You give him this ridiculous contract on top of it.
Uh-huh.
There's no wiggle room. There's no first-round draft picks for the next three.
Nope.
What are you possibly...
Your franchise, Carl Anthony Towns, is pissed off. He doesn't want him there, blah, blah, blah.
And now they've won a playoff series for the first time in two decades.
Unbelievable. And think about that ineptitude, though.
Yeah.
How long it has been.
They only won 1 year. That 2004 year was the only time they'd
ever... And they won two in that one,
yes,
right?
They got to the Western Conference Finals, lost to the Lakers that season. The only time they'd ever won a playoff series. And now we tack another one on, and now they get the Nuggets.
So what does this team move mean to this market?
That's an interesting one, right? Can it grab what Jordan in the 90s and the Bulls were different?
Uh-huh.
But this was definitely a Bulls town.
Sure.
It was a Bulls state.
Yep.
It was a Bulls country.
Yep.
To be honest.
It was.
Can the Timberwolves now grab a little something where they become Des Moines NBA team, where there is a little bit more? There is conversation that happens on the airwaves here, 11-1. And the other shows every once in a while. Look, it's never going to unseat the Cyclones and the Hawkeyes.
Never.
It's never going to do that. But can it find at minimum a niche? Because it didn't even really have a niche. Can it be that as the team? I think it's possible because this team looks to be set for the next few years with the superstar. What'll help
Edwards
too.
Has a max contract. He's already that signed. He's
he's
there. And he wants to be there, which is special.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because this guy could go anywhere, probably cap. And I love him after games. With a microphone in front of him.
I do too.
Now you
got to
cut down on the F-bombs a little bit, but...
There was a mother blanker last night, like right at the beginning. Of the,
talking about Cat.
Yes, but okay. All right, that's him.
Yep.
And that's, I think, another reason his teammates love him.
Mm-hmm.
The fan base loves him.
Yep.
All those things. He's got a little edge to him, but he's also fun-loving.
And he's a young kid.
He's
22 years old. He's got the world by the you-know-whats and the league by the you-know-whats.
Uh-huh.
At least till the next round when Jokic and company show up. Oh, this is going to be a fun series. This is going to be a fun, fun series. So we shall see. So the Lakers, what, they play tonight?
They do, yeah. That's a late game tonight, the 9 o'clock game. You'd hope the Lakers can steal.
I can't see it.
Take a little more tread off the tires of the Nuggets.
Be nice. Be great from a T-Wolves perspective if they can. Do I expect them to be able to do so? Sadly, I don't think that's going to be
7.5 the number tonight.
That's the number?
Yeah.
I think that's probably a fair number.
Mm-hmm.
I'm avoiding hockey.
Oh, boy.
This is brutal, Trent.
I saw the score come across yesterday.
Oh, God.
I felt bad for you. The optimism built. This was the year.
Swept Colorado in the regular season.
Yes.
Outscored them 17-4. Didn't look as though they belonged on the same ice with the Jets. Now it's the complete opposite.
Was it just...
It's McKinnon. It's McCarr. It's the Jets. Vezina, about to be Vezina winning goaltender, which goes to the best goalie in the league during the regular season. Can't stop a puck. Can't stop a beach ball at this point.
It's not good.
It's not good. It's painful. I guess if there is a silver lining, it all comes to an end tomorrow night, and you can just forget about it and just watch it without a dog in the fight. But that is brutal, 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 watching my boys.
You get two games on home ice, though. We've seen 3-1 deficits erased before.
Yeah.
What would it take?
a miracle at this point, because they have to stay out of the penalty box, and they can't because they can't catch the those speedy Avs.
They're too fast.
They're just too fast.
Yeah.
This Nathan MacKinnon and Cale Makar, oh my God, they're fun to watch if you're, you know, don't have a dog in the fight.
Right.
But if you do, you hate watching them, because it's just like, if there was a higher league, they would be in it.
So the Rangers are in. They've advanced.
Uh-huh.
They are the first team to advance.
Yep.
They're in. Seeing the crowds in New York those first couple of games at the Garden, seeing the crowds with the Knicks the first couple of games, and they'll be heading back.
Yeah,
there's something special brewing. I mean, I remember as a kid in the 90s hearing about what MSG was.
Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, and when the Rangers won the Cup in 94, when the Knicks had their runs, how special. We haven't had that in 25
long time.
Years.
Long time.
I mean, think of the number of people listening that, or even in the 30s. Like, what are you talking about? Like, I think of Lucas, you know, our buddy Lucas Rain. He's a Knicks fan. They haven't been good in his life.
Until now.
And now you hear those things starting to come back, and the celebrity angle. And we've had that, yes, with the Lakers.
Yep,
but
yep.
There's something special about New York. It makes for professional sports that don't
Have you been to the Garden?
I never have.
It's really cool.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I saw a hockey game there. I saw Rangers, Bruins, so original six teams. It's a really special place.
Mm-hmm.
And what do they call them up at the top? The
catwalk.
No. The fans that, there's a name for the people that are in the top rows of the Garden. Yeah, great. Really cool environment. Really, really cool environment. But we'll see. I mean, I think their hockey team has a better chance of going further than their basketball team.
Knicks might get the Pacers all of a sudden.
Well.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Halliburton.
He's unbelievable, isn't he?
Yeah.
My God, he's something.
And he wasn't right at the end of the season. Mm-hmm. Physically, he wasn't there. Yes, the series could have been different, but we talked about this at the top of the NBA playoffs. Every single year, there's something that crops up, an injury that happens that completely impacts things. And it opens up now the bottom half of the bracket in the East. We're going to have either the Pacers or the Knicks getting there.
Does it matter? I mean, are the Celtics that much better than...
I do, but... And the one loss that they had...
To Miami?
23-3s.
Yeah.
All right, well, there's your blueprint. Go do it.
Yeah, good luck.
Yeah. And do it four times to beat the Celtics?
No.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
No, it's not going to happen. All right, we do have another keyword coming up. We'll get to that in a couple of minutes. The keyword promotion continues on. Your chance to win some bonus bucks, $1,000 bonus bucks. Trent and I will have a couple of them during 11 to 1. And then we will turn things over to Murph and Andy in the Drive with Heather and Sean. Of course, they've got bonus bucks opportunities throughout the day as well. Let's get Jeff in here. He's been patient. We'll do Jeff, then we'll get a break. Scott Dockerman coming up, and then we'll get into some of the regional teams. If you're a fan of baseball and like to listen to Matt Snyder, as Trent and I both love to talk to Matt Snyder on Mondays, we push Matt Snyder back until Tuesday. He'll join us 24 hours and 5 minutes from right now. If you're an MLB fan and like our conversation weekly with CBSSports.com's Matt Snyder. Hello, Jeff. Thanks for being patient. How are you?
Doing well. Let's give a shout out real quick to the New York Knicks with Brunson going off.
Oh, that was awesome.
A pivotal game where the crowd followed them to Philly. And you got to remember, the Mavs just let him go. Let him go. Let him walk for nothing. And to what he's doing there with New York, here's a fun fact for you. Joel Embiid has not made it out of the second round since he's been there. That's a decade plus. I know he was hurt for a year and a half. Let that soak in there. I don't know if the process is really working there in Philly for that. Let's move on. And, you know, I touched base on this last week. Kevin Durant has not made it out to get to a Western Conference Finals or an Eastern Conference Finals since he was at Golden State. And I talked about it last week, and it's glaring to think that one of the all-time greats hasn't got there in I don't know how many years. And When do we say it's not enough for Booker? How does he get passes? I mean, people want to say they give him the nickname of the next Kobe Bryant. I'm sorry, Kobe Bryant was a lethal defender.
Mm-hmm.
Booker doesn't even want to defend.
No.
Booker can't even get out of the Western Conference Finals. So that's a little bit glaring to me. You know, moving on in the playoffs, and this is an NBA thing, and, you know, I've touched base with you guys about the handshake line in high school and college.
Yeah.
When is it enough where I see players just bitch and complain and talk to the refs every possession? And here's the scary part, guys, is that this is leaking over not just to high school. It's leaking over to middle school.
Yeah.
Forget about college. You got girls and boys watching, and I love Caitlin, but Caitlin likes to ride the refs. She always has since high school. She does it in college. And little girls and boys see that. And then you watch, for example, Luca. Luca cries and cries and cries about calls. Guys, you just got to let it go. It's getting bad for the sport, to be honest. And I love the NBA, but this complaining over every possession, it just slows the game down. I love the NBA. I hope the Knicks, Madison Square Garden. And you guys touched on Minnesota. I heard Charles Barkley and Shaq compare, Edwards to Michael Jordan. Wow. And remember, Jordan had, it took him 9 years, Detroit. So even if they get swept by Denver, okay, you won a series, kind of like what Trent said. You play the defending champion, you lose. You come back, you take your bruises. This Minnesota team, I'm not comparing them to Mike or the Bulls, but they have something special. They're going to be fun to watch. Guys, have a good day.
Yeah, thank you, Jeff. Appreciate the call. I didn't hear that comparison. I get the team-to-team comparison. Mm-hmm. Because the Bulls had to get through the Celtics, then they had to get through the Pistons, and that was a fun group.
Right.
Oh, my God, that team. Lampier and company. Oh, they were good. That was such a good team. Ricky Mahorn and, oh, my God,
and
Isaiah.
That's the way the NBA was. You kind of had to build.
You paid your dues.
You built yourself up. The Bulls were a perfect example. First it was, all right, the Celtics.
Mm-hmm. And at the end of that dynasty.
And then, all right, here comes the Pistons. Mm-hmm. And then it finally was the Bulls. You had to take those steps in order to get there. Mm-hmm. And that hasn't been the case, but maybe we're kind of morphing into those old ways that things
were. Wouldn't that be, because the NBA at that point, Trent, that was the pinnacle for me,
yes,
of the NBA.
Yep.
That was the halcyon days.
Mm-hmm.
It was
absolutely
unbelievable that time. All right, let's give away some bonus bucks in this nationwide contest. Hi, Miller Condon. Welcome back to Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Scott Dockerman momentarily from The Athletic. Nick Athan on the Kansas City Chiefs, ChiefsBlitz.com. We'll take a look at three of the four regional teams here today. First of all, the Chiefs, then we'll do the Vikings, and finish up with the Packers. We'll save the Bears hopefully tomorrow. Jeff Hughes, the Bears blog, will be able to join us, as the Bears had a pretty good draft. Their fourth round pick in the NFL draft, none other than Tory Taylor. Hello, Scott Dockerman. How are you?
I'm doing well, guys. How's it going today?
Doing pretty well. Appreciate you coming on. So, Tory Taylor to the Bears, one of my favorite picks in the draft, quite honestly, because for a lot of reasons, he was such a difference maker with the University of, and now he gets to stay with one of our four regional teams, and I think the Bears get a good one. And you are a Bears fan, Scott Dockerman. Your thoughts on the pick?
Yeah, I mean, to separate my personal feelings from that, I just wanted to kind of say that I think he's really an impactful player, and he has been for Iowa, where I examined four games where his performance tipped the balance in Iowa's favor. I would say back in 2021 when they were ranked in the top 10 and went all the way up to number 2, I would say that the Penn State and Iowa State games were Tory Taylor games. I would say that the South Dakota game where he parked two punts inside the 8-yard line that led to safeties and a 7-3 win. And then last year at Wisconsin, I think he was really impactful. So, overall, to go to the Bears, you're looking at somebody like him to help a new offense with a new quarterback, new receiver, change of pace. And he can bail out an offense that maybe struggles or gets in trouble from time to time. So I think it's a huge pick for Chicago to have a punter that's a weapon like that.
Cooper DeJean falls to the second round. A lot of ink about that one, and a lot of talk, and a lot of the draft people surprised by it. Take us through what maybe led to the fall. Is it just as simple as people aren't sure what position he is, if he is an outside corner or if he's more of that hybrid kind of player?
I think you've got to look at it beyond just Cooper DeJean and look at it holistically, which was six quarterbacks went in the top 12, and the first 14 players were were offensive players. So then you got to basically jam all these defensive players and the rest of the offensive players. There are several over that the next 18 picks. I think 19 were offensive players. So when you're looking at that with somebody like Cooper DeJean, teams have a set on what they're looking at as far as cornerbacks go. And maybe he doesn't quite fit the exact prototype at cornerback, which has a premium over nickel or safety. And so that's why he was widely considered probably the number 4 corner. But he was highly valued, obviously. And Philadelphia gave up two twos, a 50 and a 53, to move up to 40. And with a divisional rival in Washington. So, highly valued player.
he slipped to the second round, but it wasn't a tragic drop like somebody tried to persuade me on Twitter. I was like, it didn't fall out of the draft.
Right.
Second round. And he'll be just fine. So I think he's in a great spot. Him and Quinion Mitchell have an opportunity to flip the birds from from being what they were to what they could be.
Save that one, Doc, for a column. That's a terrific line. And it's an area of need with Philadelphia, right? I mean, that was the biggest need, was their secondary going into it, and they checked two boxes with their first two picks. And look, I think now become again, along I guess with the Niners as the upper echelon of the NFC. I'd love the draft pick. All right, so Doc, your piece today, kind of looking forward because it's never too early to look forward to what might happen next year. Does the what I think I read in your piece 27 overall first round pick stock for the Hawkeyes?
Yeah, I think that's right.
So
26, 27.
So 28 potentially next year. What do you think the chances are?
I think they're good. And I thought Cooper would be a first rounder too, but I think the quarterback situation really manipulated the draft.
Yep.
But I think it's really good. I'm bullish on Luke Lachey. I think he can be the best tight end in the country. You know, I talked to a couple of people who were like, when I said, well, you know, what's his value? This is before he declared he was going to come back. And they said, wow, he might be the second best tight end in the draft this year, you know, if he decides to come out. Now, that could all go through the wash and end up downward. But, you know, I still think he's got the skills and the starter kit that's probably better than any of the other his preceding tight ends, including a Hockenson, a Fant, and you know he's not as athletic necessarily as Fant, but he's bigger than they all are, and he's got a great catch radius. I think he's got an opportunity to be a first rounder next year.
If it's not him, who would be the guy that also has a chance to be a first rounder? It would take a ton. I get that, and you kind of look at all these guys, especially the very veteran guys. It's hard to all of a sudden become a top 32 pick this late in your career when you're not kind of looked that way. Is there a name or two, though, with an incredible season that could get themselves into the first round?
Y.A. Black.
Yeah.
I'm very bullish on him as well. I think he's a terrific player. He doesn't showcase a lot of statistics because of the position he plays. A defensive tackle at Iowa, you're asked to two-gap. You don't necessarily get a lot of statistics. You're tying up blockers in most cases, and then you're ending up handing those off to, the linebackers to get their incredible numbers that they've had in recent years. But he's probably the next one. And, you know, and then beyond that, it's hard because I would say, you know, you probably dip into that three-year guys,
yep.
You know, who can make that jump. And, you know, an Aaron Gray.
That's the name on my list, Doc.
Yeah. Those would be guys that I think have that chance. But I think still too early to project both of them because they were just starting to become quality players, if you will, last year. I think they've got a chance that they should be exceptional players, but I'm not sure that they're first-round players.
I got one other name for you. Deonte Craig. He had a disappointing year last year. I know I heard he was pretty banged up last season, but he had 7.5 sacks as a sophomore, just 3 last season. Rangy, 6'3", 266. Definitely has that look. If he puts together a solid season where he, you know, is approaching double digits of sacks, could he get there? Does he have, I guess, the athletic profile to get to that kind of spot?
Anything is possible, but I would say probably not.
Yeah.
I think he's probably more of a upper mid-round guy at best, you know, third tops, but probably more fourth, fifth. I'd probably put Jay Higgins kind of in the same boat.
Yep.
Because you have to have certain physical qualities to get into that category, even even what you've done in college is beyond that. You have to have, if you're an edge rusher, you have to have a get off. Or, you know, you have to be really long and athletic. I mean, like, look at like a Will McDonald, you know, a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
He's got that, you know, lengthy, long, great first step. And unless you're really powerful at the point of attack and bull rushing guys, and even then you're probably more of an interior guy. That's why I probably wouldn't put Craig in that category. But that said, I think, yes, he's a draftable prospect for sure, and he's a potential player at that level. It's just I wouldn't put him in that first round category.
Noah Shannon, so a two-parter, Doc. Obviously, the news that came out late in the week that there's going to be a lawsuit filed on behalf of multiple. Apparently, there's another one coming, another group of attorneys that represent the list of players for both schools that weren't involved in the original suit. There's still one more. So, Noah Shannon, what's the chances that, you know, can he make a practice squad at this point? Is that ultimately where the dream would start for him, just to, you know, get your foot in the door, make a practice squad? As we recall, he didn't play at all last year. Might that be his ceiling this year? And then the off-the-field stuff, the lawsuit that's coming up. Boy, certainly seems from this seat to have, he's got a pretty good chance. They all do have a pretty good chance of prevailing in a suit that I'll be surprised if it sees the light of day. But Noah Shannon, on the field and off the field.
All right, let's start on the field with Noah Shannon. And when you look at his prospects, he's got, Las Vegas now. I revert back. They've got two starting tackles, defensive tackles, that are pretty entrenched there. You know, Christian Wilkins, they sign as a free agent, and Tyree Wilson, who they drafted in the first round. They're going to have every opportunity to start and play. That said, the Raiders really recruited him this offseason, and so he was happy to sign with them on Saturday, or agree to terms and then sign with them. And you know, they play a 4-3. I think he's got a chance to make the roster there as kind of that fringe hinge guy, if you will, where maybe in the next, you know, maybe he's a cut guy, and then he goes to the practice squad that he's brought up. It, that happens a lot with fringy guys, but I think, you know, he didn't play last year, but in some small respects, and this is what I wrote last week, it actually helped him because he had that torn labrum and shoulder reconstruction in January of last year, and he wasn't even cleared until mid-August to start practicing. So having a full year of health to that shoulder will probably help him. Now, off the field, that lawsuit that was filed by Van Plum and Associates, Matt Bowles and them, on Friday in federal court, and the other one that's coming by the Sandy Law Firm that represents seven more former athletes. You know, I don't know if I will predict what will happen there, but it seems to me that it'll be difficult and challenging for the state of Iowa to prove that it was, you know, working with the law in the right way. I would say that it's probably a better than average chance that they will settle that suit. For how much, I don't know. I think it would be sizable, though. I mean, you know, the facts of the case at this point, without giving the state an opportunity to respond, seem to be very much in favor of the athletes whose rights were infringed upon, allegedly.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Doc, there is so much to this. I mean, ultimately, how do you think this is going to end? Does this get to a courtroom? Do we get that far? Are we talking about settling out of court?
My guess is, and this is what happens in most cases, is there's a settlement. And there will be also a suit filed against the state of Iowa in state court. And what the lawyers have to do is actually file with the state intending to sue, and then the state has 6 months to respond. So there are going to be multiple lawsuits in federal and state court. I'm sure there will be a settlement to make sure that they don't have to defend themselves twice. And so how much, again, I don't know. And I'm only speculating here, but that would be my guess, is there would be some sort of settlement.
What have you got coming up this week at The Athletic, Doc?
Right now I'm writing about the undrafted free agents across the board. Me and Nick Baumgartner did all the grades over the weekend for our site, and we did pretty well. And then this one is he and I are going through each team and picking our favorite undrafted free agent. And then later this week I'm writing about the Big Ten and all of the happenings going on in the league in the offseason.
You know, I saw the the grid, I guess, of the of all the teams, like mythical standings. It jolts you when you see it for the first. You realize how many that just keeps going and going and going. I mean, there's 18 teams. It's just different, is it not? I'll give you a name when it comes to Washington. I'd like Bednickel to make the team.
Oh, yeah?
I do. I think this cycle. He's so fast, Doc. I think he's got a chance to make. I'm not saying he's going to play a long time in the league, but I think he's got a chance to make the Commanders. We shall see. Scott Dockerman from The Athletic. I look forward to reading it, Doc. We'll speak with you next week. Have a wonderful week, Scott Dockerman. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate the time.
Appreciate it. Good to talk to you, Scott Dockerman, as we check in on all things Hawks, Big Ten, and the draft with Doc. Let's get into our regional team, shall we? We'll start with the back-to-back defending Super Bowl champs, Nick Athan, ChiefsBlitz.com. That's next. Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Hi, Miller and Condon. Welcome back to Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. There's something wrong with this TV. I have not seen what a pro wants, what a pro needs in the last since I sat down here. And you can't go 5 minutes without seeing that damn commercial.
Chet singing?
Oh, my God. Shea Gillis-Alexander. That commercial. Enough!
You watch a lot of sports, you're going to see a lot of the same commercials.
Over and over and over. Nick Athan joins the program. The Chiefs in the Super Bowl over and over and seemingly over again. How are you, Nick Athan?
Yeah, and I'm doing pretty good, guys. How are you?
I'm doing well. So what did you think overall of the Chiefs, their draft? We know what they did. We know, head-scratchingly, what the Bills decided to do and pave the way for them to get the fastest receiver in the draft. I will never understand it, but it's not the first team to do another team a favor. What are your thoughts on how the who they draft 32nd, last overall? And I think they had overall a pretty darn good draft and filled some needs. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean the target people, the target positions that they needed to either find a couple of starters or shore up the backups and add some depth. I think they did great. And I'm with you on the Bills thing. It'd be kind of like the Chiefs trading with the Broncos. And you saw a lot of teams trading within the division in the NFC and NFC and AFC. It was crazy. I've never seen anything like it. So, but listen, Xavier Worthy, I think everybody pretty much plotted that he would come to the Chiefs. A lot of people had him there, but he started moving up the draft boards, 14, 15, 16, so we thought. And he just kind of slid because there was such a run at other positions, especially all the quarterbacks taken, that it pushed it down. So, listen, they got the fastest guy in the draft. You know, everybody says he's this track guy. He's a pretty good route runner. He's very good in space. He's got good hands. He's a little underweight, but the Chiefs, they put 5 or 6, 7 pounds of muscle on him, and I think they'll be just fine. And, you know, they got their starting left tackle, Kingsley Suamate, in the second round. And the guy I'm most excited about is Jared Wiley, the tight end for TCU. Man, he is just a beast. He is such a good football player. He can catch the ball. He runs great routes. He can go inside, outside. You can put him, on the edge. It's just there's nothing you can't do with this kid, and he's a good blocker. So I think for the first three picks, the Chiefs did great. Probably their best overall pick would probably be Jaden Hicks, the defensive back.
Yeah, he's really good. Yep.
He's really good. I should have been a late second rounder. And, I think the Chiefs did really, really well. They shored up every position of need entering into the draft.
The secret sauce of this Chiefs organization throughout the years is but what they've done after the first round, and they've had so many impactful starters. I think a guy that at minimum is going to be a rotational piece, Hayden in the sixth round. I love that dude. He would pop every single time I'd watch a Vol game. Oh, yeah, he's pretty good. Mm-hmm. And there he is at pick 211, and of course he's going to the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, it's just those little things, those at times feel like throwaway picks that a lot of teams have. You find a guy that was incredibly productive in his collegiate career. I know he had injuries, and that's why he's still there. But still, getting a guy like Hayden, we're going to look up here in another 3 years. Oh, he's on the fringe of a Pro Bowl. Mm-hmm. He becomes one of the top 20 cornerbacks in the league. It's just what they do, and I think Hayden's another one in the long line of Chiefs guys.
Yeah, I mean, it's remarkable. I mean, Brent Beach has kind of grown into the draft process. The last 3 years, he really hit the net. He really added positions of depth and found starters in the late rounds. First couple of drafts weren't so great, but you're right on Hayden. I love this kid. You do. You watch the tape and you sit there and go, why isn't this guy picked in the second, third, or even the fourth round? and they got him in the sixth round. And I can tell you, he's very excited to be a Chief. You know, Steve Spagnuolo kind of made out in this draft, and he got Hicks and Hayden. You know, and that just helps his overall defense so much because they did lose Legarius Sneed, and now you know they have the parts and the pieces to replace the production of Sneed. It's just a matter of, you know, can they put it all together? So I'm impressed with what they did, and you're right. The bread and the butter of every NFL roster is the second and third day picks. That's where you develop your team. That's where you find a lot of your all pros. Half the number one picks don't even make it in the National Football League to get a second contract with the same team. So this is the bread and butter, and I think Beach did a great job.
Nick, help us out. What's going on with the stadium? I see that the Chiefs that made the announcement that they're going to break away. The Royals are going to go do their thing. The Chiefs are going to do their thing. Ultimately, is that the right decision? And where does this sit as we approach May the 1?
Well, I think this was an inevitable divorce. The Royals are committed through John Sherman, the owner, to go downtown Kansas City, regardless of the fact that he's upset with the city council, upset with the mayor, upset with Frank White and all the people trying to negotiate this deal. And obviously the stadium vote for the sales tax, the continuation of the sales tax is gone. And the Chiefs now, for the first time, have admitted, you know, it might be better to build a new stadium, which is what I've been saying on this show and every show for the last year and a half. It doesn't make sense to put some more stuff on Arrowhead and not build a cathedral for Patrick Mahomes. So this tells me that they're leaning more toward a new stadium with a dome. I doubt it's going to be in Kansas City, Missouri. It's probably going to go to the Kansas side in the Legends area in Kansas City, Kansas. That makes the most sense. They already have $1 billion to offer the Chiefs. That's free money. You know, they've got bonds that they can create. So they could put together a $3.5 billion facility. Jeez. With a training facility, with a Hall of Fame, with shops. A casino will be attached to it. They can go top notch. And I think that's what they're ultimately going to do. I do not think there's a space or a place in Missouri that makes sense for them to build what they really want to do. So, they've divorced. I think you'll see the Royals on one side of the state and the Chiefs on the other.
Hmm. Throughout the years, you're always very good at throwing shade at your brethren there in the division. But amongst the Chargers, the Raiders, and the Broncos, of those three teams, who did you like their draft the most out of those three?
I will put the Chargers at number one.
I agree.
AFC West.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I mean, they had the best draft. I mean, you know, Joe Alt, what can you say?
Yes.
He's the greatest left tackle prospect I've seen come out since Anthony Munoz. And that was 1984. A Ladd McConkey, who I thought the Chiefs were going to get him very badly. Yeah. I wanted him bad.
Yeah.
Junior Colson. And, you know, they take a flyer on Brendan Rice, who slid. There were a lot of concerns about his character. He was going to be an undrafted free agent until the Chargers, you know, offered him. So we don't know. And Cornelius Johnson, the other wide receiver from Michigan, you know, Kamini Vidal, the running back from Troy. I mean, they hit a home run on every single pick. I'm telling you, that guy knows what he's doing. Harbaugh is a machine. And they added another running back. They signed two in free agency. They're going to run the ball, pass the ball second, and they're going to build a solid defense. And it may take them a year, but by 2025, that team's going to compete with the Chiefs straight up.
I'm with you wholeheartedly, Nick Athan. I am. I think those are the two teams going forward. Listen, brother, we're out of time. Chiefs Blitz. Okay. I'm sure you're still recapping it. Schedule comes out in a couple of weeks. Real quick, who are the Chiefs going to play on Thursday night to open the season?
My guess is going to be the Houston Texans.
We shall see.
That makes the most sense.
Yeah,
that makes the most sense.
That would be marquee. Nick, we're out of time, brother. We'll talk down the road. Thank you, Nick Athan. Chiefsblitz.com.
Right,
Chiefsblitz.com. See you, Nick. Hour 2 coming up next. Miller and Condon, 106.3 KXNO.